you look at history, you can see that there's this preoccupation with the idea of being able to live forever. You can think of that there's the myth of the fountain of youth. You can see different characters in history who supposedly or actually did go looking for this fountain of youth. You can think of maybe Alexander the Great, who conquered most of the known world in his time before he died in 323. Supposedly, he went looking for the fountain of youth. Or during the 12th century, a king known to the Europeans as Prester John supposedly ruled a land that had a river of gold and a fountain of youth. Or you can think in the 16th century of the more famous example, the Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon, who allegedly thought that the fountain of youth would be found in Florida. Or you can think nowadays of how people look to science to be able to cure old age so that people can live forever. However, in our gospel this evening, we heard how we can live forever. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. It is through receiving Jesus in the Eucharist that we are able to have eternal life. This is the teaching that Jesus gives us here in the Bread of Life discourse, that he goes and institutes at the Last Supper and fulfills on the cross in his death. That Jesus, as the high priest, truly, fully, completely offers himself as the perfect sacrifice to God the Father on the cross. That his body is offered on the altar of the cross. His blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins and conquers evil. And it's through his resurrection on Easter morning that he then conquers death and opens the gates of heaven to us all. The Eucharist is called a sacrifice insofar as that it represents the very passion of Christ. That it's a commemoration of Christ's once and for all sacrifice, a recollection of our Lord's death, that is an image of the passion. As Christ was immolated on the cross, so at the Mass, since it is an image of the passion, it can too be said too that it is an immolation of Christ. But how does this actually take place? We need to recall that all the sacraments affect by signifying. In other words, that they do what they say. So we can think in baptism that the water being poured on the head of the catechumen, on the head of the infant, with the invocation of the Trinity, signifies the reality taking place. That person, that soul, is being cleansed from sin, specifically original sin. That the reality is signified and it becomes to be. And so therefore, with the Eucharist, of that by representing the cross, we make the cross present. That it's not about time travel, that we're not going back in time to see Christ's sacrifice. And this fits in with our Jewish roots. It fits in with the Jewish Passover theology. That for the Jews, that by celebrating the Passover, the power of God in the Exodus becomes present to Israel, celebrating it in that moment. So therefore, we can see that the sacrifice of cross still takes place every time the Mass is offered. That the Mass sacramentally represents the everlasting reality of our Lord's sacrifice, death, and resurrection through the ritual means of the Last Supper. That it's through the voice that Jesus goes and pronounces the words of consecration over the gifts, over the bread and the wine, and makes his sacrifice of the cross present to us. And it's through these efficacious words of the consecration that the bread and wine are transubstantiated into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the substance of bread and wine are transformed, that they change into the substance of Jesus. This means that the accidents or the characteristics of the bread and wine still remain. That the taste, the smell, the color, the shape, the size of the bread and wine still remain. But that what we are actually receiving in the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. The living bread come down from heaven. that Christ is truly and really present there in communion. And he comes to share his life, his love, his mission with us. And he comes to be present in our lives and configures us to be more like him and unites us more closely to him and his work of salvation, that he unites us to his sacrifice on the cross. And so being united to that sacrifice on the cross, it means that we need to also be offering up a sacrifice in the Mass. And this is what happens during the presentation of the gifts and the preparation of the altar, that you all, the faithful, bring present the bread and the wine to us, the priests, to Father Saunders and myself, who receive the gifts and then receive them for the spiritual significance of the entire assembly bringing the gifts up to the altar. That in this procession, in the placing of the gifts on the altar, your spiritual sacrifices are also being placed there on the altar. You can think also that there's in the infusion of the water into the wine, what is happening there, that the water symbolizes we, the people, and our sins. And the wine symbolizes the blood of Christ. And then being mixed together shows the people, shows us being united to Christ and he to us. That our sacrifices are being united to that of Christ on the cross. And this is why then the priest goes and says silently following this, with humble spirit and contrite heart, may we be accepted by you, O Lord. May our sacrifice in your sight this day be pleasing to you, Lord God. That this prayer that the priest says on behalf of all of you, it shows that we are able to participate in the offering of the perfect sacrifice to God the Father, the perfect sacrifice of the Son to the Father. This prayer of humility and contrition prepares us to join with the sacrifice of cross. And then when the priest goes and he invites all of you to join in prayer, he goes and says, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. And you all respond, may the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. That this invitation expresses the desire for the ministerial action of the priest and the union of the faithful for the sacrifice to be actualized, for the sacrifice to take place before our eyes. That our spiritual sacrifices join the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to God the Father. The expression for our good and the good of all of his holy church should be understood that at every time the sacrifice of the cross is celebrated on the altar, the work of our redemption is being effected. That the work of redemption, of our redemption, is taking place. So with this in mind then, each week at Mass, we must strive to place ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Strive to be able to place our own sacrifices on the altar. And so this week we can go and look at our lives. Of what are we doing to be prepared to offer up that spiritual sacrifice, to be united with that of Christ? How am I preparing for that? Are we coming here to church in the state of mind and appearance to worship God and be united to his presence? Of what are we doing on the car ride over here to be able to prepare for Mass? And once we arrive here, are we arriving in a timely manner to be able to recollect ourselves before Mass begins? And once Mass has begun, are we actively participating in Mass? Are we saying the responses? Are we singing? Are we standing and sitting when we should be? Are we listening? Are we offering up that spiritual sacrifice? Granted, we all have distractions at times, but do we fight those distractions? Do we not seek to engage in them, but turn back to our Lord and re-enter back into the sacrifice of the Mass? Or do we simply engage in those distractions and no longer participate? When I see people reading the bulletin, never moving their lips, texting on a cell phone, talking to the person next to them, I feel very sad for them, as I see the great graces that they're missing out. that they're missing out on being able to join in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That when they go and leave Mass early, that they're being like Judas, the first one to leave Mass early. That instead of seeing Jesus as the Son of God, they're maybe just seeing him as a nice guy who said some nice things once upon a time 2,000 years ago. And that they're falling into what the Jews did. That the Jews didn't actually know Jesus as the Son of God. They just knew him as a man, as that son of Mary and Joseph. And thinking about these sacrifices, we could also think about some of the great saints and the sacrifices they made. We could think about Maximilian Kolbe, that in 1906, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Maximilian Kolbe about the time of his first communion. And she offered him two graces that he could receive, either the grace of virginity or the grace of martyrdom, and asked him which one did he want for his life. Filled with zeal, he went and begged her to give her both, that he could have both virginity and martyrdom. And we see him go forth in receiving that from her in that moment, that he goes and joins the Order of the Friars Minor Conventual. And then talking about the sacrifice of the Mass, once he is a priest, writing it down, he went and said, to celebrate the Mass with sentiments of love and with consecration puts the priest and the believer in a state that is more receptive and responsible to the will of God. It is this participation, marked by concentration and fervor, that allows the priest to imitate Christ, to be like him, to offer his love and devotion to the Eucharist, to the sacrifice of the Mass itself, which is the memorial of the passion and death of our Lord. That in coming closer to the Eucharist, dwelling on the Eucharist, joining in that sacrifice, we are able to more fully imitate Christ in that sacrifice. That we see him go forth being arrested by the Nazis, sent to the Auschwitz death camp, where upon his arrival he was told he had a month to live. And when some prisoners had broken out, that they went and arrested a number of them and took an entire house and set house full of prisoners and said, we're going to execute them. And that one of them was a man named Francis, who had a wife and children, and started begging to spare his life for the sake of his wife and children. And so we see St. Maximilian Kolbe step forth before the Nazi commandant, taking off his cap and saying, I am a Catholic priest. Let me take his place. I am old. He has a wife and child. And in doing so, he entered perfectly into our passion of our Lord. That in having been going to Mass his entire life, that he was finally able to actualize that sacrifice of the cross that he had been participating in, that he was able to win that crown of martyrdom that Our Lady had promised to him when he was a young boy. And so we now know him today as St. Maximilian Kolbe, who was martyred there in Auschwitz. So as we continue through the Bread of Life discourse this month, let's ponder the sacrifice of the Mass. And we are united to the sacrifice of cross through our participation here, that we join Christ on the cross and encounter the sanctifying grace that is our salvation. We become more configured to him so that God the Father can recognize us more and more as his children. For it is here in the Mass that we encounter the living bread come down from heaven, the Eucharist. When through the Eucharist, we can have eternal life.